Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode, a fruitful episode, a bountiful episode, an episode to feed your soul with legal knowledge from the Black Law and Legalize production team at Black Law and Legalize Studios, located here in the lovely city of New Orleans, Louisiana, where we suggest you don't come unless you want to get into a shootout on the interstate, because that's what the fuck just happened the other day. So,
be safe, y'all.
Wait, what?
My name is Dan. Keep up with me on Twitter and IG. One of your hosts at I Am Dan on Drugs. Keep up with the show, all social media platforms, and back on YouTube at Black Law Podcast.
And I'm just Dan, and I am so bewildered right now. I don't know. You know what? I just don't know, y'all, why I even subject myself to this. But y'all can get at me on Twitter at I Tell Legal Lies.
And this is Afro Becky.
Becky.
The one you don't follow.
Well, got them new air tags. So I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? Ladies and gentlemen, last episode, what we discussed was kind of moving your way up through a law firm and the general pecking order. And of course, with people like me, those rules don't apply. I just kind of put myself where I feel like I belong. So if I feel like I should be a managing partner, fuck all that associate shit. I'm just going straight to the top. Yo, I'm managing a partner, got my name on here. And what? What y'all going to do about it? Y'all going to sue me?
Wait, for real?
Yeah. How you going to sue a lawyer in your own firm? Can you sue a lawyer in your own firm?
I would think so.
As I've said on this show many times, you can sue anyone, anytime, for anything.
So what we're going to talk about this week is dirty money. And the reason I call it dirty money is it ties into the salaries, the average salaries of attorneys in the United States. And of course, dirty money, because they charge too much. Rent too damn high. Gas too damn high. Lawyers too damn high.
Really?
Yes.
Doctors too damn high.
Yes.
But see, but we have this thing. Honestly, okay, let's get into it.
Because I have
medical insurance.
Okay, you can have legal insurance.
How?
It's called legal aid. Sort of like lemonade. No, there's actually services that you can pay for. Some people actually offer it on their jobs. You can pay X amount of dollars a month, and if there's an issue, you can call up a lawyer, and it's like a lawyer on tap.
So I know that to be true, especially with places that are unionized, like P from Charlotte. When he was in the fire department, he was in the International Association of Firefighters or whatever. That was their union. And if he needed legal help, he can go there. Unless it was to sue the department, then that's different. But so a regular job, a Walmart, what are we talking here?
They actually have some companies that will offer you enrollment in these legal services. Like, you know, they get breaks. Let me see the name of these. Pay as you go.
Probably like the Legal Zooms and the
No, it's not Legal Zoom. It's called, let me see.
And while you see, I'm just going to read a quick paragraph here from my notes. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics Occupational Outlook Handbook, the employment of lawyers is projected to increase by 50,100 from the year 2018 to 2028. That's a substantial amount of growth for most occupations, but with the current number of lawyer jobs being 823,900, it's only an increase of 6%, which is about as fast as the average growth for all occupations. So it's not exactly a career path that's on fire, but it's not declining either. One of the many draws of pursuing a career as a lawyer is the financial compensation, namely, it pays well. Using occupational data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, we've analyzed and compiled an overview of the average lawyer salary by state in the U.S. Read on for a full breakdown. And of course, we will get to that point. So Lloyd, is y'all rich, huh?
It all depends. So they have, what did you, like Rocket Lawyer is a legal subscription plan. Legal Shield. So quite like Netflix and other things, the legal field has its subscription component. So you pay X amount, like I said, you pay X amount of dollars a month. Some people offer it through their jobs. I have a friend whose husband works for Florida Power and Light. And through their job, they pay X amount of dollars a month and they have this legal subscription plan. So you want to get a will done, lawyer on deck. So basically it's like you're paying the lawyer a retainer, but you're doing it on a monthly basis.
So the few times that we've brought it up in the past, you've cautioned people not to use those services.
I've said that because you think that you have help for anything, but that help is actually limited, right? So you couldn't call a lawyer up if you got into criminal, some sort of conflict and you needed a criminal attorney. You couldn't call them up.
Divorce.
Yeah, you could use them for that. I know some of, like I said, the services that they're going to render is going to be limited. So,
and vary.
So right, depending upon the service. Mm-hmm. So Rocket Lawyer may not do what Legal Shield and or some of the other ones do. So it's good and bad in a way. I mean, it's good in that it gives people access. Because most people, it's like, how many people is actually going to need a criminal lawyer? You know?
How many people I know?
Other than you. No. Other than you and your gang. But, you know, that's not the sort of services that most people need. They need basic stuff like child support or divorce. Or I need some...
Divorce ain't so basic, though.
For most people, it is. Unless you have, like, tons of money. Then it becomes complicated. But for the average Joe, divorces are simple, you know, which is how these subscription services make all this money. Because here you are paying your little maybe $25, $30, $40, $50, $45 a month. You do that times 12, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're gathering this money up and it's never used. Just, you know, it's a little bit of insurance, like insurance. So
who gets paid? As far as the attorneys, like, I'm sure the service gets paid and then
there are staff attorneys. So, I mean, these attorneys are probably either from what my understanding is how they work. It's almost like a referral system. So you sign up to be a part of legal whatever, right? We all say legal aid. You sign up to be a part of that. And then a call comes in from somebody, I need help with X, Y, and Z. Dispatcher forms out that call to you. And then you're paid via legal aid. And you have this client. So, I mean, it's almost like guaranteed money for the client because you don't have to, it's not like now I have to hound this person for my bill. You know, I'm getting paid via the service.
See, but I'm pretty sure, in my mind at least, this shit works like Chipotle, right? So you order your burrito, right? You pay your money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you get there and you're like, okay, yeah, I need some avocado. And they're like $1.50 extra.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, bitch, but I paid my Chipotle subscription. How the fuck you gonna charge me
an extra dollar? Yes.
So I'm pretty sure there's upsells and all kinds of stuff.
It is with everything. If you think about it, everything is an upsell. So wait, yeah, you want a divorce? Man, look, we can do a little child support and a little something extra, but it's extra whatever. I'm sure there is. Like up charges depending on what it is.
So that shit is going to be like the Hulu Disney Plus bundle, ESPN. All right. So as far as money, right? Mm-hmm. Making base salary for an attorney, if you had to guess, what's the national average?
Probably like 130.
Close.
1,000.
Close. 144.
Yeah.
So I thought lawyers, some lawyers got paid on, what do you call it?
Retainer?
Like either a retainer or based on billable hours once the case is settled.
So you're talking about a contingency fee?
Those situation? Are your, bring up your Morris Barts again.
Mm-hmm. Correct. So if you're talking about, well, I mentioned retainer for,
We want to stop giving Morris Bart publicity on here.
For those of you who may not know what a retainer is, it's basically what it sounds like. You know, to retain something is to hold it, to keep it. So I give you some money to keep you on deck.
Kind of right? Like a deposit.
Correct. I'm putting down this deposit on your services.
And if you would like, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like, much like I did, you can put Ann on retainer.
Not for
cash
a dollar.
App
no.
At Black Law Podcast. $1. No. That's all it takes to have us feed a starving attorney. $1. So, okay. So you're retained.
So,
is that
right.
A monthly fee?
No.
Or is that a one time?
You as a lawyer and your client, you negotiate depending on what you think the scope of my services would be. So, say you come to me and you say you need a divorce. And I say to you, okay, I can handle that. I need $5,000 retainer. So what that retainer is going to do is it is basically going to...
emails, letters.
Like every time you call me, because lawyers burp by the minute, right? So, because as Becky said... and we discussed in a previous show, billable hours, right? When we say billable hours, we mean increments of hours. So as we're working, for every minute that I'm working on your case, I am being paid X amount of dollars, right?
So what if you're working on two cases at once, multitasking? Say you're typing an email. And you're on the phone.
No, you're never multitasking. You're always working on one case at a time.
Bullshit. Okay.
You're never, because that would be illegal.
Is it?
It is illegal for me to sit in court on the case billing you and someone else.
No, but I'm saying you type in an email on your computer. You got a phone to your ear. So you're like, I would like to suggest that, yes, I am calling to do. So you're doing two things at once.
Here's the thing. What I am required to do is tell you how much time I have spent on your case.
How many lawyers lie?
None.
I have this paper over here.
As I said before, there are no lies. There are only my version of the truth. My version.
I got some papers that say lawyers be lying. But
anyway,
okay.
But. To get back to what I was saying, so for every minute or whatever increment of time I'm billing by that I spend on your case, X amount of dollars attaches to that. So when you give me a retainer, this is where that money comes from until I blow through the retainer. And then you have to start paying me more money based on time that I've spent on your case, right? So... But a retainer is going to give you certain access to me and my time, right? So as far as, you know, that whole, what you said initially about being too damn high, do you know how much trouble a lawyer goes to become a lawyer and how expensive law school is?
What's that got to do with the price of services?
I need to see most lawyers come out of law school, just like most doctors come out of medical school.
In debt over their head.
Like hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt.
Except for you, affirmative action and all that other
no.
shit.
No. Okay. Thank just you very the, much. Blessings upon the, blessings. Thank you.
Like, and that's one of the things I don't quite understand. And maybe because I'm not from the world of academia, right? Is, okay, I want to become this, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to spend shitload of money. I'm going to take out these huge amounts of debt to become this. We're talking
sometimes in upwards of $200,000-$300,000.
I'm going to do all of that. But that, in my opinion, should not have any bearing on the cost of services. Your debt should not be taken into consideration when it comes to the cost of services.
Time. So I've spent 3+ years gaining this knowledge that I'm now going to use for your benefit. Right?
But you a fucking summer associate. I'm saying.
You know, I have gained all this knowledge over time, and I've paid X amount of dollars to do it. So now what is my time worth? My time is worth what I paid to gain this knowledge.
Okay, so you're in $250,000 worth of debt, right?
I'm not.
And you're fresh you're fresh out here, right?
Uh-huh.
So I come to you, I'm like, look, I want to get a divorce, child support, this, that, and the other. And you're like, okay, my billable rate is
$350
an hour. Okay, so I'm going to go to Susan, who's been doing this 20 years longer than you, who is not in $250,000 worth of debt. Susan is what we call an of counsel attorney. So she ain't got, she like, you know, I Susan got money.
$350 because on top of that, in a geographic area, you have going rate.
Yeah, going rate. That's right? With anything. Yeah.
Correct. So just like with a lawyer. But, so here's
the thing. What you're telling me is, all right, I drive a Cadillac Escalade, a 2019 Cadillac Escalade, and I drive for Uber Eats, right? You drive a 1997 Toyota Corolla for Uber Eats, right? Mm-hmm. I should get more money to bring somebody their food because I invested more into my vehicle, which is a vehicle for my job.
But what's the going rate?
The going rate
is the same. Whether
I want $350 for bringing you your food.
The going rate is the same because you said Uber Eats. The going rate is the same whether I'm using a 2007 Corolla. Mm-hmm. Or
1997, get it right.
2019 Cadillac, because Uber sets the rates. Well, guess what? The profession sets the rates, and the reason why the profession sets the rates that they set is because of the amount of time people in that profession spend gaining the knowledge, the amount of time and money they in that profession. They see, so now you see, it's not about what you drive. It's about who sets the
well, then why even bring up, up how much I spent or how much debt? Why bring that up?
That actually factors into that geographic area's going rate. It factors into it. That's why you bring it up. I've spent this time. I've spent this money. Now I need to recoup that. Okay. So it's a factor.
What happens after you recoup it?
Then it's all butter. It's all gravy. It's all good. Because guess what? There are still people who are coming into the profession who have spent this time and this money.
Well, then why would you even fuck with them? If you brand new, you fresh out of law school, you second year, you a junior associate or some shit.
Uh-huh.
And then I can go over here and fuck with a partner. Why am I fucking with somebody that's new?
Guess what? A partner is going to cost you more money. And let me tell you why a partner is going to cost you more money.
Because he got to escalate.
Huh? The partner is going to cost you more money because partner has more experience. And
that's who the fuck I want.
Exactly. An associate billable hours and a partner's billable hours may not be the same thing.
I'm sure.
Because this partner may have 20 years worth of experience. They have connections. They know the ins and outs and whatever. So my time is worth more than a junior partner.
Becky, who would you want handling your case? Harvey Specter or Mike Ross?
Ooh, probably Harvey, but
get the fuck out of here.
I mean, Mike is the genius though. So
I take a genius. And that's another thing too, that doesn't really have much to do with what we're talking about, but it is something that I've seen and I've experienced myself. Let me ask, I'm a phrase it as a question. Have you ever seen somebody who is much more knowledgeable than an attorney that you know who is not an attorney?
Yeah.
That's the craziest shit ever is.
I mean, we've talked about on the show about the guy who went to the Supreme Court.
And, the prisoner, yeah.
Right, and he was a prisoner. Never attended.
How many times he go? He went like six times.
Right, never attended law school until after he got out.
Everybody in jail is a lawyer, though.
Yeah, but you see, that harkens back to the time when apprenticeships were the thing. That's how you got into something. You know, you didn't go to school for it. You went and you worked for somebody who actually did it.
Or family business, right, or whatever.
That's how you learned. So, I mean, it is not necessary for you to go to law school to have the knowledge that a lawyer has.
I mean, you ain't going to get a lot of the perks and benefits. But,
correct.
And me, and the reason that came to mind is thinking billable hours, whatever, whatever, right? Car dealerships. Do you know how much they charge per hour in their service departments?
Mm-mm.
On average, about $140-$150 an hour.
Because that's what's the little the book that they use?
Yeah, the manuals, like the all data stuff. Well, right. Actually, they come from the manufacturers. Like this repair should takes four take, hours, mm-hmm. And so you're looking at say a brake job. Mm-hmm. In the manual, it'll say this repair should take 4 hours.
Speaking of
hours.
Which, I need my brakes changed. Last time I changed them was when you changed them.
That was a long time ago. man, buy the parts. So 4 hours to do that job. In reality, it takes about 45 minutes to do the job, but they're still going to bill you for them 4 hours. So you're looking at $500+ for a brake job. And we might even just be talking about front brakes.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got people like me, like lots of people out here who just kind of learn on their mm-hmm. own. Mm-hmm. And they're like a brake job, $40 in parts. And if I were to charge you for my time, I'm not going to $140 an hour. And then I'm going to do this shit in like 45 minutes. So it's like, all right, just give me another, I don't know, $75 or whatever.
Right.
So it's just funny.
Hence the shade tree mechanics. Right.
But it's funny that these guys that work at these dealerships, that work at these auto shops, a lot of them do go to school. A lot of them do get like ASC certified and all these other certifications. And I guess that is a way to justify the
charging. But, you know, nowadays, though, you know, I watched Ice-T in his Car Shield commercial where he talked about, you know, back the days of actually fixing something with a screwdriver and a hammer nowadays what he said actually has merit because these manufacturers are now building cars that are like spaceships. Everything has like a little digital this or that or whatever. When back in the day, you could take a screwdriver and a wrench and go under the hood and do some stuff. You can't necessarily do that these days.
Man. Well, even before the computer or the digital aspect of it, the manufacturers are making or producing parts for the cars that require special tools.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that the average Joe doesn't regularly have in their garage.
Toolbox.
And what do I do, Becky? What do I do?
You make a tool.
Goddamn right. You know how many tools I've made? I've taken other tools, but just quick. I mean, we're on the side here, but another quick thing is I called you about a week and a half ago. After I left work, I'm driving and all of a sudden my car's rolling. My foot's on the gas. Ain't nothing happening. And I got a bad transmission in my truck. So I'm like, fuck, finally my transmission died on me. I'm like, oh, well. So I coast and I'm in a rich neighborhood, too. I pull over. I'm like coasting. I stop. I call Becky. I'm like, look, can you bring me my scan tool so I could hook it up to the computer in the truck and see what's wrong with it? Turns out it was a gas pedal sensor. I'm like, I've been working on cars since the 90s. I've never heard of a gas
pedal sensor.
So anyway, I go look up the repair procedure because, I mean, it looks straightforward, but sometimes you just want to make sure. One of the things was after you do this, your idol's going to have to relearn and this, that, and other. So you need a GM Tech 2 or similar computer that costs like $5,000-$6,000 to hook it up and tell it to relearn your idol. If not, your car is going to be, you know, the RPMs
is going to
be like at 4 or 5 just sitting there at idle. So I'm like, fuck. So I still got to take it to the dealership after I do this to have them
recalibrate.
That's $200 just for them to hook up something. I did all the work. They hooking up a computer and going click relearn. That's it. So of course, dig deeper, came across some automotive forums. They're like, shit, just disconnect the battery for about an hour while you're doing the repair, hook it back up, and it's going to automatically
recalibrate it. So
I'm like, well, did that and it worked. But yeah, they are starting to do a lot of shit like that to where
you have to take it to the dealership.
So yeah, go ahead, put your own parts on there, but we'll see you. So again, right. A way to justify the high cost of doing business. So I kind of get that in the legal profession.
So going back to that, but that within itself, that is not baked in though. You know, it's not like we actively seek to inflate the price so that people cannot use us. That is not what we in the legal profession do. But as with anything, because, you know, some people go through undergrad and come out like hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, depending on where they go to school, because they want that brand recognition in order to get top tier job in their fields. So they are striving to get a high paying job so that they can pay these off. Thing is, I went to law school back in the 90s, right? Knew how much law school would cost. Didn't set out to make a mint when I entered law school. Did not say to myself, I'm about to come out on the other side of this and be like uber rich. That wasn't my motivation. But when I got out, thank God, you know, I wasn't in hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of debt, because had I been, then for several years,
you would have been an ambulance chaser.
You know, my focus would not have been on how can I help. It would have been, I need to get this money so that I can pay this debt, because I'm not about to be 80 years old still paying off, you know, a student loan, because all I can find is a minimum wage job, or, you know, a job that's not paying me enough to even put a dent in this debt that I have.
Well, let me ask you this too, as it comes to mind. Okay, so we're talking all this school debt, right? Do you believe that you should have to complete undergrad in order to go to law school? Let's just say I want to be a lawyer. Why can't I just go to law school?
See, now that's the thing. When it comes to that, it goes back to what we've said before. Some people can just pick up a book and learn what they need to learn. I mean, because honestly, law school, its purpose is not to help you, or not for you to learn the law, so to speak. Its purpose is to help you think. And that's basically any program. Even going to college and undergrad, the purpose should be to get the knowledge, but also to help you learn how to think through. Critical thinking is what law school strives to teach you. So you should be able to come out of high school and jump into law school if you're ready to do that.
Do you believe the same with medical school?
Now that's different. And I'm going to tell you why. Because when you are actually, for instance, a surgeon, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need scientific knowledge.
Medical school.
No, but you see, you need knowledge prior to that. You need some sort of scientific knowledge prior to you going to medical school.
Isn't that what the MCAT's supposed to kind of
determine? MCAT is supposed, no, the MCAT is supposed to show you where your knowledge is.
Okay.
Right?
My knowledge is in science. That is biology.
Supposed to test that. The MCAT is actually supposed to test the breadth of your knowledge in science. That's just like the LSAT is supposed to test how critically you think, right? Okay. So if you can come out of high school and take the MCAT and pass, then yeah, go on, go.
I bet go, you I could.
Go,
shit.
Go on, go. If you can, you know, if you can do that.
But I guess I'm part of my problem too, as far as the debt, because I hate debt, and I've made that clear. With this episode, like 175 or something, I've made that clear damn near every episode. I hate loans. I hate debt. I hate borrowing. I hate, let's cut out some of the bullshit. And the bullshit is in undergrad. Why the fuck do I need English 101, math 101? I'm just saying shit, but you know, let's stick to the core classes that I truly, honestly need to be able to progress into law school or into medical school.
You know what? Somebody tried to do that, though. I remember
they should.
I remember back in the day, there was this big push. But just as with anything else,
the universities need to make their money.
Is big business. You know, universities are big businesses. They are in the business of making money. And how do you do that? Just your analogy with cars and how much time it takes. That's the standard. So we are running with the standard, because in 4 years' time, I can get $200,000 out of you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it used to be that you could go to like community colleges and, you know, sort of
even public universities.
They are starting, like LSU used to be cheap.
That's why I always say the baby boomers, as they're often referred to, the boomers, they fucked this country up. And you know what? They want to sit on their goddamn high horses and point fingers at the millennials, generation XYZ, and say, you guys are lazy. We did this. We did that. Y'all bitches didn't barely have to pay to go to college. Houses were fucking cheap. We're paying 5-6 times what your mortgage was back.
Actually, I think you might be paying more than 5-6 probably, times. I'm
going on my rant. Let me go. But we're paying, just in fucking rent for a 1-bedroom apartment, 10 times more than what you were paying in mortgage on a, like, don't give me that bullshit. Jobs, y'all had manufacturing. Y'all fucked that up, because who's doing all the manufacturing now? China, right? Mm-hmm. Fucking India. Y'all mm-hmm. fucked that up. Y'all fucked Detroit up. And y'all want to look at our generation and be like, y'all lazy. And then we got this dude that I work with. This motherfucker cannot stand anybody young. And then he likes to look at me and say, yeah, but you're not one of them, because, you know, you grew up kind of like us. Man, fuck you. I believe in everything these young people out here fighting for, mm-hmm. everything these young people out here doing. Y'all fucked us up. Y'all fucked up the stock market. Y'all fucked up our economy.
The environment.
Our environment.
And damn, this thing went so left,
man.
I don't even know if we can ever come back.
I'm saying, I know the country might not be able to come back from the shit that they did. But the reason I bring that up is they're part of the reason shit costs so goddamn much today. Look at George Mason University. It's a very respected university in Northern Virginia, right? Mm-hmm. Paul's people got a degree, a master's degree, everything out of pocket. $4,000 out of pocket. And now I have a cousin that goes to George Mason University. They pay $68,000 a year.
Mm-hmm. And that is about average cost. Like the average cost of a college education now is about $70,000.
That's bullshit.
That is real.
So let's cut the shit. If y'all don't want to reduce the prices, and Becky, let's bring Becky in. I'm done ranting. Mm-hmm. I'm cool down now.
You should actually go back to the apprenticeship model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I think. It would be, I mean, I want to be a lawyer. That's what Kim Kardashian tried to do.
She, but you man, know, her, so. Her pops. Becky, you worked at a university. You care to shed any light on this?
Not really.
Girl said, nah.
So you don't want to tell You don't want to tell the listeners about the universal pay cut across the board that all of the university staff had to take because the university fucked the money up.
Wait, what just happened?
Yeah, I mean, that is essentially what happened. But I mean,
oh, I think that's mine.
And ladies and gentlemen, We're going to pause for a minute while I cool down.
Damn it, I thought I was saved by the bell.
Okay, we did not just take a lunch break. And Becky, so as you were saying about the university that you worked at, right? HBCU fucked up the money. Missing millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Why you had to just throw out HBCU?
Because it was an HBCU.
Okay, but why did you even have to make that distinction?
Because HBCU.
Now, why?
Because it was an HBCU. If it was a W...
If it was any other university, you could have just said university. I would have said
WCU, whatever.
Whatever. Anyway.
Anyway, so let's talk about that for a second, Becky. How did that affect you and the staff? And what was it like working at the university? Let's just forget that it's HBCU.
We are going down a tangent because this was about compensation.
We're going to get there. We're going to get there, son.
It's
we
about
always
comp-
do.
It's
we
about
always get there. Don't question. Don't question the journey.
Nah.
Just go along.
No.
Just go along for the ride, huh?
Nah, son.
So what happened at the university, there was people in accounting that weren't trustworthy and they were hiding money or embezzling money or stealing money, one of the three. And whenever we were audited, we meaning the university was audited, you know, that was discovered. And in order for the university to keep going, the recommendation was to cut salaries by 10% and also raise some more money. So my salary was cut. And everybody was subject to this salary reduction.
Even the janitors who made
everybody
like $20,000-$30,000 a year. I don't know how much they made, but at
10%,
that's a lot of money to somebody that's making $30,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money to someone making $150,000 a year. Mm-hmm. So, did they lower the tuition? Of course not. They raised
it. They probably
the
increased it. Yeah. Correct.
So we're going to cut our staff, the pay of our staff, and then we're going to raise our tuition. Again, I just find it hard to find the value in this shit because it's all hyperinflated. And
don't get me wrong, there is value in higher education. Some people need that structure. Some people don't.
Did you?
I did not. But okay. I did not because
but you had to play the game.
I am a bit of a fast learner as well as I learn better outside the classroom than I do inside of it because I'm a reader. So you can find out how to do it before, you know, the advent of YouTube. You used to learn how to do stuff through reading a book.
Yeah.
So
or talking to people that knew how to do
correct.
It.
Correct. So I am the type of person that can learn, can read it and do it.
Okay.
So didn't need to do it, but needed to do it to get where I wanted to be. Had to go through the system.
I'm the same. Fast learner. I'm not a reader. I'm a doer. I'm gonna fuck it up or whatever. Like, but I'm a nuts and bolts type of person. So I'm going to take the shit apart, try to put the shit back together. We got some extra pieces. Oh, well.
Throw
we'll
it away.
Figure out where they go next time.
I remember many loose bolts and screws and whatever. And I can remember one time, and hey, what about this? And it was like, psh, don't need it.
Man.
Obviously, you do need it. It came from somewhere.
Nah. When I did your father's brake job, when I pulled the fucking wheels off and they had missing guide pin retainers, I'm like, who was the last person that did this? Some shade tree mechanic. That dude threw away some parts that he needed. I'm surprised that bitch still stopped. So, all right, let's get back on track here. The compensation, highest and lowest. This article that I have rates the states where lawyers
make the most money,
make the most and make the least. The less. So, if you had to guess, let's go with top 10. Where they make the most money.
New York.
California.
Mm-hmm.
Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Probably D.C.
Jersey.
No DC.
Virginia.
Jersey. Mm-hmm. Virginia.
That's when I said DC, I meant that general.
You gotta say DMV then.
Shut up. Philadelphia.
That would be Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
Nope. Yeah.
Huh. I'm gonna say Massachusetts.
Yes.
And yep. Florida.
Nope.
Nah, not Florida. Probably. Well, I was about to say Washington State, but that's
Illinois.
Not right.
Illinois. Yep.
Yeah. Chicago. Yeah. You know, I'm thinking about like
major markets.
Michigan.
Yeah. So
Michigan. No, Michigan's broke.
Hmm. So wait.
There's
how many
one more.
Name?
So far, you named, and this is in the order. California being number one, yep. New York being number two, right. Massachusetts being number three, Illinois is number five, Colorado is number seven, Virginia is number nine, and Jersey's number 10. So basically, we need number four and number eight. LeVar Burton music.
Huh?
LeVar Burton music. Do, 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 do.
That's Jeopardy.
Like Arizona.
Arizona is number eight.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So now we just need number four.
Georgia?
Nope.
Anything in the South is probably going to be on the bottom of the scale.
Oh, actually, we need number four and number six, speaking of the South. There's one Southern state, and then I just give
there's you... There's a Southern state.
One Southern
state. It's going to be Texas then.
Texas, look.
Number six.
All right.
And then number four, I'll give you a hint. When you said D.C., and then I said you have to say the whole DMV.
Maryland.
There's another area of the country that's
Delaware?
Like that. There's another tri-area.
The tri-state area.
So would it be North Carolina?
No.
Jesus Christ.
Well, so they
New
have
York,
tri-
New Jersey.
Come on.
New York, New Jersey. What's the other part of the tri-state?
Come on.
Delaware, Virginia,
New
Maryland.
York, New York,
Pennsylvania.
New Jersey. What's else?
She's high.
What else is up? What's up there?
Mike Tyson had a house there. 50 Cent had a house there.
Man, tell me, because I'm drawing a blank. It's crazy.
You know what Bridgeport is?
Rhode Island?
We said, wait, is that not in Massachusetts?
Connecticut, son.
Oh,
Connecticut.
Yep. Yep. You're right.
Connecticut is
Connecticut.
Number four. So that okay. is the, yep. the 10 states where they earn the most. California, New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Illinois, Texas. Well, actually, let me go and read the averages, too. California, the average is $171,500. Mm. New York, the average is $167,100. Massachusetts, it is $165,600. Connecticut is $153,600. Illinois, $152,900. Texas is $150,250. Colorado, $147,500. Arizona, $145,750. Virginia, $139,180. New Jersey, $139,20. So, top 10 states where they earn the least money.
Louisiana.
Louisiana is number eight.
Mississippi.
Mississippi is number two.
Alabama.
Nope.
Florida.
Nope.
Hmm? Georgia.
Nope.
Arkansas.
Number four.
Let me see.
Oklahoma.
Florida. Nope.
Wisconsin.
Nope.
Michigan.
Nope.
Let's think dang. About the Rust Belt. So,
West Virginia.
Yes, that's number three.
Kentucky.
Yes, that's number six.
Ohio?
Nope.
North and South Carolina?
South Carolina, number seven.
What about Wyoming?
Wait, you said
Wyoming
is
number nine.
Say West Virginia?
West Virginia, yeah. Yep, number three.
Oregon?
Nope.
We already said the Carolinas. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, South Carolina.
How many we have left?
So far, you guys have Mississippi, West Virginia, Arkansas, Kentucky, South Carolina, Louisiana, Wyoming. 7 out of 10.
Washington State?
Shit, they probably make bank.
Oregon.
Nope. I already said that.
Oh,
no.
Really?
The Dakotas. North and South Dakota.
Mm-mm.
Really?
But wait, Florida wasn't on there.
Nope, they're probably somewhere in the middle.
Hmm.
All the stand your ground laws and killing black people and shit. Pretty lucrative, I hear.
And we said Arkansas. We said Alabama.
Man, we got one of Washington neighbors.
Oh, wait. Iowa?
That ain't Washington. Idaho.
No, I'm just, no, but I, cause
Idaho, I'm thinking, yes.
Mm-hmm. Idaho, huh?
Idaho, number five.
Okay.
I think we got two more left, huh?
You got number one and number 10 left.
Dang. Huh.
Number one?
Yep.
And
Washington's
Oklahoma.
Neighbor.
Wait, we said Oklahoma?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Come on, Washington's next door neighbor.
What's next door to Washington State? I don't know. My geography is off right now. Think.
I said Idaho and the Dakotas and Wyoming.
And you just keep skipping over Washington's neighbor. It's a state that literally no one lives in.
Hey, what?
Nobody lives here. I think they might have buffalo and bison. That's it. And an Indian. Feather, not the dot. Open sky. Open sky, I think, is their state. Their state motto.
Montana?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jesus
wait.
Christ.
Wait.
That's why they're at the bottom of the list, because nobody knows.
Nobody even knows where they at. They are number one.
Montana.
And then the last one on the list is where the aliens be going.
New Mexico?
Oh, New yes. Mexico.
So Montana average 88,000. Mississippi's 97,000.
88,000 for real?
Who you representing? Buffaloes? Mississippi's average is 97,000. West Virginia.
Wait, Mississippi lawyers in Mississippi make more money than lawyers in Montana?
Yes.
Damn.
I'm telling you, it's lucrative when you got all these hate crimes. Got to get these cops off somehow, right? West Virginia's 98,000. Arkansas, 98,000. Idaho, 99,000. Kentucky, 100 grand. South Carolina, 105. Louisiana, 105. Wyoming, 105. New Mexico, 105.
You know, we make money because of oil and gas.
Yeah.
Well, not as much as California.
Now that I
and
know how much you make, can I hold $5?
Man.
All right. And the last thing on this episode and this list is something I just kind of scribbled in as we were talking about it. Associates percentage. I don't even know what that.
Meaning,
oh, that was how. Okay. So
meaning what they make in relation to. I thought we discussed
addition,
that already.
In addition to the base salary. There was something that you had mentioned when we had talked about this called an associate's percentage. It was like Morris Bart sending, man, fuck oh. Morris Bart, sending.
Because see, that's the one.
The brand.
Right. So, okay. Because you threw me for a minute. All right. So when kind of sort of like the, we talked about the subscription service and how they may pass stuff on to lawyers. Well, if you're an attorney and you farm out cases to other attorneys, right? So you sign the people up to work with you and then they sign a contract maybe with somebody else who's in your network. You may not do any of the work, but you still get a percentage once the case is settled. So there are... Remember how I talked about how you couldn't be in partnership with a non-lawyer as a lawyer,
mm-hmm.
but lawyers can partner like that. So
it's basically, this is a case that either I'm too busy to take or it's beneath me. So I'm going to
take like a finder's fee. I gave this case to you. I did some work because I have to do some work in order to get the fees that I'm being paid. Because if I didn't do any work, that might be a problem. But so I'm going to do something to earn the money that I'm going to receive. But you are going to give me some money on this case because without me, this case never would have fell into your lap, basically.
So a finder's fee. And then we'll close with this. Do you think in the year of our Lord 2021, the being a lawyer is lucrative?
It all depends on where you are. Like if you in California, you making bank. You in Montana, sorry for you. No, so it all depends on just as anything, location and specialization. You know, if you're like, if you or somebody who is doing a lot of corporate work, right about now, you're probably making a lot of money. If you're like a taxation lawyer, you're probably making a good bit of cash too. Like I mentioned before, Louisiana, we're good for oil and gas. People working in the oil and gas industry, they make a lot of money too. These ambulance chasers actually make a good bit. Personal injury is a big thing in Louisiana, which is why our insurance rates are sky freaking high.
So I hate those lawyers. Just saying.
Because, I mean, we will sue anybody at a drop of a hat. Somebody can bump you, and by the end of the day, you'll get 15, 20 grand just because they bumped you, and you have absolutely no injury.
We had one case where the insurance... 50. Yeah, 50 grand right. for a minor fender bender.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's nuts. And even a formal mayoral candidate is now an ambulance chaser. I'm like, how did you fall from grace? And I wanted her to win because she was better looking than...
Jesus.
This has been another episode of Black Law and Legalized. And if you're interested in becoming a lawyer, please reach out to me because I can offer no assistance whatsoever. Ever. My name is Dan. Keep up with me on Twitter and on IG at I Am Dan on Drugs. The show all platforms, including YouTube at Black Law Podcast.
And you can keep up with me. You can ask me questions. I do give great advice at I Tell Legalize on Twitter.
But if you want the real good advice, you got to pay her. So,
not a dollar.
Mm. But yeah, this is Afro Becky, and I'm signing off.
Peace.